Hello, everybody. It's Stuart and Jodie here. And welcome to those who are listening online, whether from our church family here at Carey Baptist Church in Moulton in Northampton, or whether you're listening from further afield, you're all welcome to this time of worship together. So this is now the beginning of the church year. It's the first Sunday in Advent. So I'm going to say an Advent prayer. Let us pray. Advent God, we worship you, the God who comes. You are not remote from the world you have made, but each day you come to us, blessing us with your presence. You came in creation itself as your spirit moved over the waters of chaos. You came in Jesus Christ, made flesh in our world of weakness and need. You came in power to raise him from death, a mighty promise for all creation. Each day you come by your Spirit, gently and powerfully working in the lives of men, women, and children. At the end of time, you will come in power and righteousness, in mercy and redeeming love. Give us the grace to welcome your coming. Inflame our love to yearn for your presence. Enlarge our vision to recognize your coming day by day. We greet you, Advent God. Amen. Normally we would light the Advent candle on the weeks, on Sundays during Advent. Next Sunday on the 6th, we'll be able to be open again and we can light the second candle along with the first candle. But I thought I would give you the opportunity to light a candle if you have one in your house. So if you do have a candle and some matches or a lighter, then go and get them. Press pause and come back. If not, just enter this moment imagining that you're lighting a candle. So I'm going to light the candle. If you listen carefully, you may hear the match. We light this first Advent candle to remind us of the Advent hope. Jesus is coming again. The Apostle Paul writes, "The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us stop the things that belong to the dark. Let us take up weapons for fighting in the light." And now Jodie is going to come and bring our reading from the Gospel of Mark, Chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 37.
But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the four ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. But I say to you, I say to everyone, watch.
Thank you, Jody. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word, and we pray that as we reflect upon this passage and reflect on what the second coming means for us in our lives today, your Holy Spirit would give us wisdom, that you would speak to us your living word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said at the beginning, this Sunday is the beginning of the church year, a new year. And then the first Sunday of Advent, we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus on Christmas Day. It's going to be a strange Christmas this year. However you plan to celebrate it, we will all remember Christmas 2020, the COVID Christmas. And we need to think carefully about how we celebrate Christmas. And just because we can meet up in a group of three families or so in a so-called bubble, which isn't really a bubble anyway, doesn't mean we should. Jody and I both have parents who are in the vulnerable category, so we won't be meeting up with them this Christmas. I'm not lecturing and telling you how you should celebrate your Christmas, just that we should be very mindful and prayerful in any decisions that we make at this time. The first Sunday in Advent is when we look at the second coming of Jesus, which may seem strange as we haven't arrived at his first Advent yet, when we think about that on the 25th of December. But thinking about the second coming does put everything into perspective, including the present dilemmas we have concerning about how we celebrate Christmas. The second coming is a difficult and strange doctrine to understand, but it is an important part of our faith. In the Apostles' Creed, we read, "I believe in God, the Father, the Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead." So it is part of our faith that he will come one day to judge the living and the dead. It is an article of our faith, but I know many struggle with the doctrine of the second coming and how to understand it. In the past, when I've preached on this, quite often at the door, when I'm shaking people's hands, which I can't do obviously today, people will say to me, "Oh, I'm not really sure if I believe in the second coming," or, "Maybe our death is when the second coming will happen," or, "I find it difficult to imagine how the second coming will happen," or whatever. So it is a difficult doctrine. It's difficult to get your head around. How will it happen? How can it happen? I believe there must be an end point of history, a consummation of history, when God's purposes come to their final fulfillment. And I do believe that that will happen when Jesus comes again in glory one day, as it says in verses 26 to 27. "At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens." There will be a point in history when this happens. But we don't know when it will happen. In verse 32 of the passage that we have, it says, "But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." There's no point in making calculations about when this will happen. And historically, people have tried to set dates and have always been proven wrong and then changed their minds about the date. So it's a waste of time trying to work out when this will happen. And you always have people saying, oh, there's signs of the end of history is coming, but normally they have to change their views when they become too specific about them. So I don't worry about that. It may happen today. It may not happen for thousands of years. We do not know. But I think the reality of God and God's presence is very near to us. I think there's a paper-thin distance between heaven, which is God's realm where God is, and earth. And the two interpenetrate with each other, and God breaks into history and reveals himself to us. There are thin places, places where we feel very near to God and feel God's presence. For me, some of those places have been Iona, off the island of Mull in Scotland. Whenever I go there, I've not been there for over 20 years, but when I went there in the past, it always seemed a thin place where God was present. Or when I visited Jerusalem, it was a strange place in many ways, but you could have a sense of Jesus having been there, and it was a thin place. Or when we gather to worship together, as we're worshiping God, it's a thin place where God's presence is felt in those gatherings. When I was in my early 20s, and I went as a volunteer to Nicaragua, working in a coffee harvest with peasant farmers, I had a sort of mystical experience when I was squeezing some mangoes to make some mango juice. And as I was looking down on the valley below, for a moment or a few seconds, the whole valley seemed to come alive with a sense of God's glory and God's presence. It didn't last for long, but it was like a foretaste of what will happen one day for all of creation, that one day God will fill the whole of creation with his presence and with his glory. And I had a little foretaste of that in that short experience, which has never left me. How will the second coming happen? I think it'll happen in a flash. One moment everything will be normal, and next minute, boom, it'll be like a nuclear explosion of love where everything is transformed and God is all in all, and God brings his new creation into being. I don't know exactly what it will be. We only have pictures and dreams and images of that in the Bible. And none of us know what it will be like in its full reality. But I do look forward to it with hope. I don't look forward to the second coming with fear. I look forward to it with hope that God has a purpose for his creation, that everything will be transformed, that there will be a judgment, in that the wrong will be judged and everything will turn out right and good and proper, and God will be all in all. But I'm not fearful about it. I look forward to it with hope. And this could happen any moment. On my bad days, when I go to bed at night and it's been a difficult day, I sometimes pray, come Lord Jesus, and wish he would come in the night and that would happen. But that's probably just because I'm having a bad day. But we all should pray, come Lord Jesus, and desire for him to come again one day. But it could take a long time. Although the way we are treating God's creation at the moment, we don't know how long we have left, unless we make some radical changes in the coming years about the way we deal with climate change and God's creation, then we may extinguish ourselves. And then I don't know what form the second coming would take in that context, but that's speculating. But God's sense of time, God's sense of purpose is very different to ours, as it says in 2 Peter 3, chapter 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So God has a different perspective on time than we do. And many scientists say that the earth is something like 13.7 billion years old. I don't know how they work that out, but certainly the earth and the cosmos is a very old reality. And God has been at work over a long period of time, and even before us humans arrived on the planet. But every generation is egocentric in that we tend to think that we may be the last. Every generation thinks it may be the last generation, that the end of history is coming. And we may be, but we may not be. The question is, what are we to do as we wait? We cannot bring about the second coming, but we can be ready for it. We're told to be on guard. In verse 33, it says, be on guard, be alert. You don't know when that time will come. And then further down in verse 37, what I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. We don't know when the master is going to come back. We don't know at what time of day or what day. So we don't know, but we should live each day in the light of eternity, which may be our own death. That may be the second coming for us when we die and we meet God in that sense, or when Jesus comes in glory at his second coming. I think the doctrine of the second coming gives us a perspective on life, that God has an ultimate purpose for his creation, and that we will have to give an account to him for our lives. So be on guard, be alert, wake up. We have to live our lives in the light of Jesus' coming again. How would Jesus have us celebrate his birth this Christmas? That's a good question for us to ask. How would he have us celebrate Christmas in the midst of this COVID pandemic? Would he want us to put the lives of our elderly and vulnerable relatives at risk for the sake of a party, or by showing care for them, by showing restraint at this time, especially as we have the prospect of COVID vaccines on the horizon in the coming months? The words he said in this gospel, he still says to us today, be on guard, be alert. This Christmas, be alert for COVID, but be alert for Jesus' coming, because he is coming. And as it says at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, in Revelation 22, verses 20 to 21, he who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Let us pray. Father, help us to live our lives in the light of eternity. Help us to be awake, awake for you at work in our lives, awake for the coming of Jesus again in glory, that we will be ready to receive him with gladness and with joy. Help us during this Christmas season to be responsible in the way that we respond to these difficult circumstances we find ourselves in. And help us to find joyful and appropriate ways to celebrate the birth of your Son, our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of our church members, one of our deacons, Merrill Cooper, is going to lead us now in some prayers of intercession.
We praise you, God of all time and all seasons, for your trustworthiness, your faithfulness, and for your watchfulness. For you do not let us down, and you don't give up on us. You do not let go of us. Because we have come to know your faithfulness and your love, and the hope and the sustaining that it brings, we want to share that with others to bring hope and light where there is brokenness, despair, and fear. So we do that now as we pray for others. There'll be pauses so you can name those you know. Loving God, we pray for all those who are bowed down by fear and anxieties. We pray for all those who mourn, particularly today the friends and family of Doreen Bruce. We pray for all those who are anxious for their own or their loved one's health, especially those waiting test results and hospital appointments. We pray for the lonely and the isolated. We pray for those whose livelihoods have been impacted by the pandemic, particularly those who have lost their jobs or who are struggling financially. For those who are fearful or anxious, we pray peace. For those in communities divided by race or religion, we pray understanding. For those in places of violence or war, we pray peace and protection. For those who are hungry and cold, we pray support. For those whose health is failing, we pray courage. For those bearing the burden of responsibility, we pray wisdom in their decision making. For those whose relationships are breaking, we pray healing. For those who mourn and grieve, we pray comfort. For those who have lost hope, we pray encouragement. For all people and for all creation, we pray blessing. We pray for ourselves too. Gracious God, you know the thoughts of our minds, the treasures of our heart. You understand our fears, and you are gentle with the secret hopes that we cherish. Help us to entrust to you those people and situations that trouble us, those things we long for, so that as we journey through Advent towards the Christmas stable, there may be purpose in our steps and courage in our souls. We ask this and all our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Meryl, for your prayers. We'll close with a blessing. Look forward in hope to the coming of your Saviour. Prepare the way for Christ, your Lord. Welcome him with love and faith when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Thank you for joining with us. We'll be back in church hopefully next Sunday, but we'll continue with these recordings for the foreseeable future. So see you online if you want to come next week. Go well and God bless.